Hi, I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Stelina. Together, we are moms to 5 children, including 2 sets of twins.
At Tweet Dreams, we are passionate about helping families achieve the peaceful night's rest they deserve because we were formerly overwhelmed and sleep deprived ourselves.
We love nothing more than helping families achieve their specific sleep goals
so the whole family can be rested and thriving.
On this podcast, you'll not just hear about sleep-related topics. We'll chat about how it started,
where we are today,
and the experiences that have shaped us as mothers of twins.
We hope you'll enjoy listening to the ups and downs,
the highs and lows, and everything in between.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to Twin Life with Tweet Dreams. It's Lindsay and Stelina here. Hey, Stelina.
Hi, Lindsay.
How are you?
Doing well. Just came back from my twins' 3-year-old checkup. So that was a milestone in itself, but everyone's doing great. What about you?
Well, that's exciting. Glad they're doing well. We have a mini sleep episode for you guys today. It is in the universe that lots of y'all are struggling with sleep and routines inside the ages of like 17 to 20-ish months. Okay, Stelina, you just said before we hit record that it's never on the day. We're working with a lot of adjusted ages here anyway. So maybe your kiddos are not happy with the routine anymore at 17 months. Maybe it's closer to 20 months before they're showing you that you need some changes. So know that you're not alone. I have strategy calls coming in. We both have some strategy calls coming in for this age group, DMs, Q&As. It's a thing, okay? You kind of went through this with your son recently, and we're going to do a separate episode on 2 years because I know you have a lot to say about that, like just getting over that 2-year mark with your girls and the naps and all that fun stuff. So we're going to chat about the quote unquote 18-month sleep regression. I truly believe there's like maybe 4 that are significant just with all the experience that we have and all the sleep data that we see. 18 months being one of them. And it's a combo of what I call FOMO, separation anxiety, the cognitive recognition that you as mom exist after you
totally
shut the door and go away, right? Not out of sight, out of mind. We're not living those days, right? Where you're like, mom, 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 mom. We want mom. We want dad. We want whoever it is. Very, very attached at this age. So it's a combination of that with reduction in sleep needs, which why would a toddler need a reduction in sleep needs?
Like, I know, right?
And actually that reduction in sleep needs comes right around 19 months. So very much in play here, right? Like, no, we don't need this. We need the same amount of sleep needs, but I'm actually pulling up the chart that I have inside this blog and it says, how much sleep does your child need? And between 15 and 18 months, we're going to say that average. So we've taken the low end, we've taken the high end, we've got the average. It was 13 to 13 and a half hours. Okay. We can handle that. But guess what? At 19 to 23 months, it drops almost an hour, maybe a half hour. But like, that's a big deal. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, totally. My son just turned 19 months. So just,
are you seeing any of this?
Like, waiting for it. Well, you know, we spoke recently in a previous episode. He definitely suffers from the separation anxiety, super clingy at this age. I can totally see it. A lot of milestones happening like daily. I mean, he is saying new words daily. So that definitely impacts, you know, sleep overall, I feel like. So, you know, I don't know if I'm there quite yet. He does have an adjusted age as well. He was a month early. So plus or minus whether, you know, that matters for him or not. But yeah, I mean, I definitely have been seeing some of the regression like things happening for him. You know, I definitely need to tire him out more than maybe I used to in the past. And that is just something that I always try to do with all the kids to ensure that they nap and sleep like as amazing as they can, because I'm a crazy sleep lady. So I try to just like throw them outside as much as possible, especially him. You know, he's a boy, super active. But to answer your question, I'm seeing bits and pieces of it, but I can't say I'm full on like in that regression right now. Maybe we'll just skip that one. But knowing how popular it is, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if I start to see some stuff happening with my now 19-month-old. And it's true, you have to kind of cut back on some of the sleep somewhere. And it's like kind of depressing for somebody like me. But honestly, it's a fact of life. Like, it's growing.
No, I know you've like,
he's growing.
You've sent me like texts before and you're like, okay, so here's the schedule. And I'm like, uh-huh.
It's too much.
I see the schedule. It's too much.
And you're like, no, it's not.
What's the other answer? There is none. Yeah,
I know. I know. And every kid is different, right? So like we always talk about this, higher sleep needs, lower sleep needs. I mean, I don't really know where he lands. I feel like he's probably somewhere in the middle just because I have a 19-month-old in my house right now. So I can feel like I can talk about that. He's probably somewhere in the middle, average, slightly higher. I just feel like with my son, he does have some pretty good crib autonomy going on, which is amazing. And like, you can definitely get there if you're not there yet. Anybody listening, it just takes like a lot of practice. So I feel like that can, you know, really be great to have in your back pocket, you know, to teach your kid that kind of crib autonomy, because even if they don't want to sleep the whole time, you know, the whole nap time or whatever, having them just in the crib is still like restful for them in my eyes, in my opinion. So I find that, you know, really helpful for my own son.
Hey, twin mom, we see you. When we say we get it, we really do. At Tweet Dreams, we are a team of sleep consultants who are also raising twins at home. Our twin sleep coaching packages are specifically tailored to your babies, making the journey of teaching independent sleep as stress-free as possible. Trust our years of experience working with twins so that you can feel relieved that the answers lie with us. Start by booking your free discovery call to learn more, because we can't wait to meet you and help you with your sleep goals. You can find the link to book your call in the show notes.
Okay. Yeah, that's a really good point, because I was just telling a mom that I was talking to yesterday, we're coaching her 15-month-old, that somehow he's gone from co-sleeping 100% of the time to like this really autonomous kid in the crib. And so she's focusing more on like sleep totals. But what I wanted to stress to her is that she's about to have another baby in a month. This kiddo can wake up at 7:30 and her desired wake time is 8. Totally fine. He's happy to stay in the crib for like 30 minutes. And I'm like, what if you're nursing the baby?
Amazing.
What if you're feeding the baby? Mm-hmm. This is amazing skill to have, so that otherwise we're in a place where as soon as you hear the kid crying or the baby crying, to get out of the crib, like the moment their eyelids pop open, you're living in sort of like survival mode. Everything feels really urgent, so stressful. And we've talked about this before, that a baby or kid who's content, happy-ish, is way better than if we're standing and screaming and crying, trying to jump out of the crib. Cough, cough, Vera.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
In there.
And I mean, you said that, like, no worries if she's not napping, as long as she's content. Mm-hmm. Right? So that autonomy is just so, so important. And in 18 months and 2 years, we have to be working on that, because we cannot force our kids to sleep. We can give them that opportunity. We can have the nice, comfortable space. But if their body does not feel like sleeping that day for whatever reason, we can't force it. So when thinking about this age, we've talked about transitional objects before. So important. So if your 17, 18, 19, 20 month old does not have a comfort item, let's get them one, because that's going to help with the autonomy, with the self-settling, the FOMO. Not worried about mom. I got my lovey. We're all good. Right. Mm-hmm. Sometimes by default, this can be a really easy fix if you're in the regression because of just a schedule tweak that's needed. So when we think about that reduction of sleep needs, it's okay. We can handle it. Let's just make sure we're adding more awake time. And I know you have a strategy call coming up with a client, and I was looking at the form. It's like, boom, right away, I could see they need a schedule adjustment. And that's really, really good can pull out what needs to be adjusted versus looking at a situation that looks like quote unquote perfect. Cause then we're just saying, all right, well, we're just going to ride it out, you know, like this too shall pass kind of thing, which no, exactly. So I'm looking at this blog, our favorite schedule for 18 months. And this is really going to be based off a 7-ish schedule, meaning morning, 7 a.m. morning, which is pretty much how we structure our like sleep advice, like on infographics and blogs. We're just going to say we're going to do 7. A lot of families do 6 a.m., 6:30, 7:30, 8. So those adjust, but essentially 18, 19, 20 months, we need to add some more awake time. So it's not really fair to say that our kiddo this age needs 12 hours overnight, right? That's changing. Mm-hmm. Okay. Which can feel like not what you want to hear, because by the end of the day with your 18 month old, we're ready for bedtime, but let's work on like adding 15 minutes. So we're getting outside of that 12 hour overnight sleep. So what I'm suggesting is 6:30, we're awake, maybe getting out of the crib at 7. And then we have a 5.5 hour wake window based off of the morning wake up. So let's say you want your kid up at 7, but they're getting up at 6:15, 6:30 awake. I mean, you wouldn't bring the nap earlier to meet the morning wake up. You could actually just hold that structured nap time according to the desired wake time. And that'll help everything just become more settled, not a whole lot of variation in your day. So what I would suggest here is like 12:30 to 2:30, 2 hours is totally adequate. Sometimes we see 90 minute naps at this age. I think you went through that recently where your son was doing that and he eventually just kind of like got over it. Sometimes naps are choppy just because of some type of regression or like developmental leap. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But still doing, I think, a minimum 2 hour crib time at this age is going to benefit everybody just from like getting a break standpoint, right?
For sure.
And then, like I said, bumping bedtime a little bit later, 7:15, maybe we could do 7:30, maybe if your kid's like a really good napper, but really getting anything still inside the 12 hour overnight sleep is probably too much, or anything even more than 12 hours, definitely too much at this age. What was I going to say? So some quick tips, pushing that forward 30 minutes is beneficial just to rule that out automatically. Keeping bedtime simple, but be sure to dedicate time to a family ritual like reading or singing. I love I Spies, like first words books at this age. And unfortunately, let's not entertain any stalling or crying. I know you can speak to this, Selena. Like your son is like probably still crying at separation at bedtime for like, I want to say like a couple months now, right? Is it getting any better?
Yes. So I found a solution that I don't know if it's just works for me. I mean, I'm lucky enough that my husband has been putting him in the crib now. So we still do like the whole routine, whatever. And then the twins say night night to their brother. And I'm like, all right, twins, let's go do potty, like move on with our routine. And he puts him in the crib. I don't even know what they do. They have some laughs and he's been fine. Like he's not crying anymore as of right now with this new change that I've implemented, because I feel like before when I was putting him in his crib, like all the time, I don't know why this happens, guys, but like, he was like, mama, mama, oh my God, mama's leaving, like never going to come back. And it was just honestly kind of heartbreaking. And, you know, for now, that's working for us. And I'm sure I'll be putting him back in his crib soon. Actually, tonight, my husband isn't around to help me with the bedtime. So we'll see what happens. So yeah, that's like what we're doing right now. And you know, if you can trade spaces with your spouse, if you have one, definitely try it, because you know, it could be the solution for a little bit, you know, just to get you guys over like that little like FOMO hump that I like to call it. Like, obviously it's not going to be like this forever, but yeah. And it was like a long time. And I'm somebody who's like, all right, it's a phase. Like, obviously it's going to go away, but it's like weeks and weeks of like me putting him in the crib. And he's like, I know he's tired enough. Like, I know he has the crib autonomy if he's not tired enough, but he's just screaming. And you know, a lot of it's the age too. It totally is the age. It's like this little like black hole age, like not a baby, not really a toddler, but like considered one, like probably in the books, but you know, definitely can't communicate effectively enough, but like totally not an infant. So it, like, it, I feel like, you know, in all aspects of life, like this age is tricky, right? Would you agree?
Yeah. I mean, if you're feeling confused, he's definitely feeling confused, right? Like he's, it's a very very transitional age, which is why we're dedicating a whole, you know, episode to it. So I think in your son's example, you know, alternating caregivers is definitely a good tool to use. Caution not to get stuck on one.
I know.
Based off of your child's like preference, because that's a slippery slope.
It is.
So
it
really obviously is. He's not home tonight. So you're doing bedtime. There's no other alternative and everything's going to be fine. And what I mean by like not entertaining it is that if he were to cry going into the crib and you're like, oh no, 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 no. What's wrong? Oh, okay. Let's pick you back up. Oh, okay. Let's X, Y, Z, all this stuff. Like that only fuels his reaction based off of your reaction, because our kids are mirroring us. And if you're confident that midnight, keywords, et cetera, and you're out of there, he's like, oh yeah, everything's cool. I forgot. Like I just missed my mom, but I'm fine. Right.
Yeah.
So totally. That's what I mean by that. Like if we're feeling like our kids are not confident to be separating at bedtime, I hear you, but please be confident yourself, because they're at a safe, comfortable space. And it's okay to separate. So when you show them that it's okay to separate, they're going to get that confidence back. Make sure your lights are still on throughout the whole bedtime routine. A toddler would get really, really, really attached to like dimmed lights. Maybe mom sings a lullaby once he's in the crib. It all seems really peaceful and lovely, but it's confusing. And our kids, when they're young, can't really read the nuances of why we do something. Things sometimes this way, other times another way. So I think really being really straightforward with the transactions of bedtime. Does it feel really comforting and cozy? Probably not. But a full night's sleep feels really, really good. So let's stick with that. Sure. So we're gonna link the blog here, which guys goes over the sleep needs chart, which is really informational. Get a screenshot. I talk about that favorite ideal schedule for 18 months. 19 months, 20 months, how we're moving things by 30 minutes, how we're keeping bedtime simple, all these quick tips. We are here for you guys if you need a strategy call. So this is a very popular age to be reaching out and saying, we have independent sleep routines. We have an independent sleeper/sleepers. We're just like having these kinks and naps are feeling not like they should. We're fighting sleep. Get us on the phone. We're going to look at your specific situation. We're going to give you some email notes, takeaways. We'll check back with you in a week to make sure everything's groovy. So make sure to book a call with Stelina or myself so we can help you through this hard regression. Okay. Y'all got this. Let us know if we can help in any way. Thanks for listening today. We will catch you next week. And yeah. Bye, Stelina. It was good chatting with you.
Yes. Yep. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
If you liked this episode and conversation, be sure to leave a review or rating. Share it with a friend on social media or a family member. It's our goal to reach as many parents of multiples and singletons alike. You're not alone in your parenting journey. If you'd like to hear about a specific topic or have an episode idea, please feel free to message us. We're here to help.